This is HBS 145, and the title of this lesson is Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 13. And a subtitle for this lesson would be The Role of the Godhead in Setting Up the Gifts and Ministries, Part 3. And this part is going to be on the Holy Spirit as our helper. Now, just by way of a little bit of review, we're talking about the role of the Godhead in setting up the gifts and ministries in the body of Christ. One of the scriptures we read in helping us understand this was in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 4 through 7. Let me just read that. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Talking about the Spirit of God in this case. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Talking about Jesus here. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In these three verses, we have all three members of the Trinity mentioned. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, which is Jesus, and God, which in context with the other two usually means God the Father. So, we've been talking about the role of the Godhead, the Trinity, in setting up the gifts and ministries. We've talked about the role of Father God played in part one. We talked about the role that Jesus played in setting up these gifts and ministries also in part one. And in parts two and three, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit as our power provider and our helper in setting up the gifts and ministries. So that's a little background. So now let's go on and read some other scriptures that will be our text for this lesson. Turn to John chapter 14. And we're talking about now in this lesson, the Holy Spirit is our helper, remember, our comforter. We read last lesson, and that means helper, comforter. The word, Greek word for that is paraclete, which means our helper, or one called us alongside to help. So now, let's read from John, starting in chapter 14, about this helper. Our last lesson, as you recall, we talked about the Holy Spirit as our power provider. In this lesson, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as the helper for the body of Christ. So here we go. John chapter 14, and let's look first. Let's just read some of the scriptures here that have to do with the Holy Spirit being our helper, and then we'll talk about it in more detail. John chapter 14, let's read verse 16. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, he's getting ready to go away, and he's talking to his disciples. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that is beside Jesus, who was their comforter till now, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. We'll talk about this in more detail. He's talking here then, the Comforter, he tells us here, is he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. That's going to be their helper. And he's telling them about this, and he's introducing them to the Holy Spirit. Now let's go on and read verse 26. But the Comforter, or helper, which is the Holy Ghost, again he says it's the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now let's go to chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter or Helper is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now verse 7 in chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. That means it's better for them that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is this Helper, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. 13. Howbeit, when he, this Comforter, this Helper, this Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Okay, so that's just a brief synopsis of Jesus introducing the Holy Spirit as helper to his disciples. Now we're going to go back through these verses and read them in a little more detail. I just wanted to kind of lay these out here first, read through them, and let you start thinking about them. Now we're going to go back through there and open these scriptures up a little bit more. Now we're right in John chapter 16. So let's start talking about what Jesus has to say about the helper in chapter 16 of John. Back to verse 13. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." All right, now what is Jesus telling us here? He's telling us there's someone coming called the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Truth, and he's going to come and he's going to guide these disciples, and as it turns out, us too, as we become believers with the Holy Spirit indwelling us. He will guide them and us into all truth. Now, first of all, what is truth? Well, in the next chapter, if you just turn quickly, just turn the page to John chapter 17 and look at verse 17, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so the word of God is truth. The Spirit of truth, when he comes, will open up the word of God, which is truth. All right, so this is what Jesus is talking about here. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you in line with and using the Word of God. And he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Well, number one, he leads and guides us into all truth. I remember reading back in the Gospels in Pontius Pilate when he was talking with Jesus before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was talking about truth, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" He had no idea what the truth was, and a lot of people are like that today. They don't know what the truth is. The truth, folks, is the Word of God. That is something you can always count on. Anything that comes from the Holy Spirit is truth, and what he will do, he will open the Word to you. That is, when you read the Word of God, that Holy Spirit that dwells in you will open up the Word, which is also Spirit. Remember, Jesus, when he, back in John 6:63, I believe it was, he says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life." So the Word of God is Spirit. And it takes the Spirit of God to open it to us. Think about it this way. When you read the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling your spirit. Then you open the Word of God. These words that you see in front of you have been written by the Holy Spirit through men. All right, that same Holy Spirit now indwells each believer. So when you open up this book that's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit within you, as you read along, every once in a while, the Holy Spirit within you will give you a little nudge when you're reading his truth, the word that he inspired to be written, these Spirit-inspired words. And when that happens, just slow down, stop, go back over this verse, because it's the Holy Spirit in you quickening you to the Spirit that's in the Word. So we've got the Spirit in the written Word of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and that Spirit of truth will quicken this truth that's in this written Word of God when you read it. That's why I said here in the beginning that when the Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, he is, in a real sense, the opener of the Word when we read it or study it. He opens that Word, which is Spirit, by that Spirit that lives within us. Okay, so he leads and guides us into all truth, and that word is truth. Let's look at another example of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. We just saw it here in John 16:13. Turn back to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and we'll see another example of the Holy Spirit leading the body of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What is that saying? Well, you could say it this way. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or you could say the sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, all it's saying here is that if you're a child of God, you can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So my point here is that believers, the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God, can be expected to be led by the Spirit of God, by Romans 8:14. There's many examples in the Word of God of people being led by the Spirit. Acts chapter 16 comes to mind. If you want to just turn there quickly, we can look at something. Paul was on his way to preach the Word of God in Asia. But in verse 6 of Acts 16, it says, "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." See, here's the Holy Ghost leading them. He'll lead us the same way. You know, you may want to change jobs or something like that. Well, listen to the Holy Ghost in you. He will lead you. Should you change jobs? Should you take this job? That's just one example. Any major decision you have to make in your life, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will be there to help you make that decision. He leads and guides you into all truth, the things that God has for your life, the things that God wants each believer to do with their life. We're talking about gifts and ministries here in these lessons, but you can apply this to really any important part of your life. If you just ask for this guidance and ask for this leading, you will get it. But sometimes you have to listen pretty closely and be willing to change your own mind to fall into line with what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. What the Father God and Jesus are telling him to tell you about this decision. You may have to be willing to change your mind. If you're not going to be willing to go the way he says go, he won't tell you anything. So you have to really open up and say, "God, I want what your will is in this situation." And you do that, and God will guide you and lead you through his Spirit. So one of the things he does is leads and guides us into all truth. Now, the second thing he does here, as we see in John chapter 16, verse 13. Let me turn back there now. I turned away to Acts. Okay. It says that he will guide us into all truth. And it says here that he will show you things to come. Now, you could say that could be the word of wisdom, which shows us things to come as well. We studied the word of wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit. Or he may just give it, he could give us a dream that would show us things to come in our life and our ministry that he has for us. But he will show you things to come a lot of times to encourage you. Maybe you're going through a tough time or something like that and you're trying to do what God wants you to do. And then God will give you a little glimpse of what he wants you to do in the future, something you're going to be doing in the future to encourage you to hold fast in your present circumstances where it may not look like, if you just looked at the situation, things were working out very well. He's done that for me several times. As a matter of fact, before I even got in the teaching ministry, God, he didn't tell me exactly what it was going to be, but he did tell me that I would have a ministry, and it would begin in my home, and later give help to many others. Well, I had no idea what he was talking about. But through the process of time, I found myself teaching Bible studies in my home, and for some reason, I didn't really understand why, there was something inside me telling me to tape every one of these lessons that I was giving in my home, in these Bible studies, or wherever I was doing it. So I would just put them in shoe boxes and fill up shoe boxes with these tapes, cassette tapes at the time. For what reason, I didn't know. Then there came a day when God told me to take those tapes, convert them to digital form, and put them on the internet and have a Bible school. If I hadn't saved those tapes, there wouldn't be any school today. But God had a plan. He said, if you'll give heed to this ministry that begins in your home, it will later give help to many others. Hopefully it's giving help to many others through this internet ministry. Okay, but I'm just using this as an example to show us how God will show us things to come through the Holy Spirit. So God did that. He will show you things to come in your life if you'll just listen closely. and spend time every day with the Lord. A lot of times these things come to me in the early morning, just as I'm awaking. That's a good time for the Lord to speak to us, simply because our spirits are quiet at that time. Usually we get so wound up during the day that we couldn't hear God if he was shouting at us. But in the morning, I find, just as you're awaking sometimes, that's the time, not every day, not nearly every day, just occasionally, God will speak some word, some scripture usually with me, that will help me to hold fast to what he's called me to do, or give me some little bit of information I need as I meditate on the scripture. But anyway, my point here is that one of the things the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, will do is he will lead us and guide us into all truth. We discussed that. And he will show us or speak to us about things to come in our life and ministry. Now, another thing the Holy Spirit will do, number three, he will receive orders from the head, which is Jesus, for the body, which is us. All right, now let's talk about that. That's also hidden, not hidden exactly, but in this verses I'm reading, it's another part of them. Let's read. Sometimes you have to read these things slowly and carefully to get everything out of them that the Lord wants us to get. Let's go back now and dig this little nugget out of here. Verse 13 again. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. No, he never speaks of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Where do you suppose he's going to hear these things that he's going to speak to us about? Well, read on in verse 14. He shall glorify me, for listen, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. If you look up the show it in the Greek, it says he shall speak it unto you or declare it unto you. So, whatsoever the Holy Spirit shall hear, he shall speak it unto you. That's how we learn, folks, what Jesus wants us to do with the ministry he's given us. That's how we learn from him what our orders are, what he specific direction he wants us to take. We receive orders from the head for the body through this helper, which is the Holy Spirit. It says so right here, folks. Let's read it one more time. This Holy Spirit, this Comforter, this Helper, shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak. What's he going to speak? Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Well, what's he going to hear? He's going to hear things of mine and show it unto you. Just from Jesus? No, listen. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Therefore, all things that the Father has are Jesus. So Jesus has access to everything of the Father and everything from himself, and he will deliver those things through the Holy Spirit, who shall not speak of himself, but shall speak of those things that Jesus tells him to speak to you, and he will bring to you exactly what the head of the church wants the body of Christ to do. And he will do that on an individual basis. For we each separate members of the body of Christ. He will do it for you. He will do it for your friend who's a Christian. He will do it for all of us who are Christians. Remember, it says here back in Romans chapter 8, it said, if we're children of God, the Holy Spirit will lead us. And this is one way he leads us, is that he speaks to us of the things Jesus tells him to speak to us. And Jesus has access to everything he knows and everything the Father knows that pertain to our ministry or pertain to anything in our lives that he wants to speak to us about. So the Holy Spirit is our helper in the sense that he's the conduit that Jesus uses to bring truth and revelation and knowledge to us in our lives. So we've learned three things already that the Holy Spirit helps us with. Number one, he leads and guides us into all truth, which is the Word. He will open the Word to us. He's the opener of the Word, basically. As you read the Word, the Holy Spirit will open up the Spirit in the Word that he had written many eons ago. He will show us things to come. And I gave you a couple of examples there of how he's done it in my life. Things speak to you about things coming up in your life. that you need to know about to hold you fast, to hold you strong to the course. Number three, he receives orders from the head for the body. That's us. He will take things from Jesus and the Father and show it unto you. That means speak to you about it. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. I wish I had time to get in detail on that. I'd like you to read that, though, on your own. It shows you in detail how the Holy Ghost receives these information from the head of the church for the body and reveals it unto us. I'm tempted to go there right now. Well, let's just go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and just read these verses because I think it helps to set it all in context. Starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We think, well, that's good. I mean, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. I guess we'll never understand it. No. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us. See, he's contrasting the natural man that doesn't know these things to the believer who does know these things. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. In other words, that Spirit that indwells us. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. This is what we were talking about. The Spirit gets deep things from God and reveals them to us by his Spirit. See, in verse 10, God has revealed them to us, us believers, by his Spirit. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit knows all things of God, God the Father and God the Son, and then he lives in us, in our spirits, so he's able to pass on those things God wants passed on to us in our spirits. Isn't it beautiful how this works? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, God has put that Holy Spirit in our spirits so he can freely transmit the things he wants us to know. Which things then also we speak. See, sometimes these things are stuff like in teaching, like right now, so he'll pass things on to me that he wants me to speak to you. So he'll pass on things from the Father, things that God wants me to tell you today, and he will pass through the Holy Spirit into my spirit. All right? So these things then that come from the Spirit of God, from God the Father and God the Son, which things we then speak, like I'm doing right now, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches that lives inside of us. See, he's able to pass things from the Father, from the Son, through him, the Holy Ghost, to me or to anyone else that passes on the Word of God to others. Now verse 14, talking about the natural man again. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And folks, if you're not born again, your spirit is dead unto God. Until we get born again, then that spirit becomes life, because we receive eternal lives into our spirits. But natural man can't receive these things because they're spiritually discerned and his spirit is dead. That is natural man, man who's not received Jesus as their Savior. Now verse 15, but he that is spiritual, talking about believers now, that has the Holy Spirit dwelling in their spirits, judges all things. That means discerns all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. But see, we that are spiritual can discern and examine and pass on those things that are revealed unto our spirits by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, folks, that is a beautiful way, and those verses sums up what I was trying to say back here in John chapter 16 about how the Holy Spirit receives orders from the head of the church for the body of Christ, which is us. Now, number four, the Holy Spirit helps us in that he teaches us all that we need to know spiritually.
For that, let's turn back to John chapter 14. We're all kind of staying in the same place here.
John chapter 14. And let's read verse 26. But the Comforter, the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Let's talk about this teaching. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He teaches us all that we need to know spiritually. Why? Why do you think he does this? Well, for one thing, the Word of God is the thing that we need to renew our minds. If you go back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you'll read in there that as new believers, we're supposed to, first of all, present our bodies to God. And the second thing we're supposed to do, it says, is be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, renewing your mind in the Word of God will transform you. It will take your mind out of the world and put it into the Word of God, into things of God. And that's what we need to do to be transformed, if God's ever going to use us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us all that we need to know spiritually. And he then uses that Word of God, that truth, who he's the Spirit of truth, remember. He'll take that truth and use it to teach us what we need to know spiritually so that we can have our mind renewed to the Word of God. See, when we come into this whole thing of being born-again believers and then move on and to become Spirit-filled believers, the only thing that's been changed is in our spirits. Our mind wasn't affected, and our body certainly wasn't affected. So, the first thing God wants to do is for us as believers to get our mind renewed to His Word. Our spirits are new. There were a new man in Christ, but our mind's the same old mind we've always had. And if we don't get it renewed to the Word of God, we won't be transformed. See, God wants our minds transformed. He doesn't want that same old junk that's been in there for all these years leading up to the new birth. Now that we have the new birth, it doesn't automatically get flushed out of your mind, everything that you've had in it, all the worldly thoughts, all the worldly things, all the worldly ideas about how to accomplish things, how to go about things. God wants all that renewed. Everything's new in your spirit, but now things need to be renewed in your mind. And so God uses the Word of God to do that. And the Holy Spirit then will help you and guide you into the truth and teach you all that you need to know spiritually if you'll but open up the Word of God and meditate upon the Word as you read it. Now, I know this because here's the way it worked with me. When I first received Jesus as my Savior, and then later that week received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I found that I had a great desire to read the Word of God. There was just something that was in my spirit that was pushing me to open that Bible and to get in there and read it. And that was the Holy Spirit was dwelling within my spirit. He wanted me to get my mind renewed in the Word of God. And so I read along in there, and I didn't know what I was supposed to be reading exactly, and I'd get a little here and a little there, and I'd have a little light here and a little light there. So I realized I needed to learn this in some sort of systematic fashion. So I kept saying over and over as I read Psalm 86:11 one day, and in there, the psalmist says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth." And I thought, that is what I need. I need to be taught his way so I can walk in his truth. Not just know what it says, but to walk in it. And so every day I would say, maybe a couple of dozen times as I, throughout the day, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth. Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth." I would just say, "Teach me, teach me, teach me." Well, God did. He was teaching me through the Word of God, and then one day I went down and opened my mailbox, and in the mailbox was a whole box full of cassette tapes from various renowned teachers of the Word of God that were good, solid Word teachers. And so I devoured them. I listened to them and listened to them, and I'd get that done, and another bunch would come in the mail. And it found out later that an uncle I had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, and he felt led to send me these teaching tapes. We never talked about this at all. He just started sending them to me. And I was devouring them. And it was teaching me topically, which I needed at that time. And so I'm just using this as an example of how the Holy Spirit is our teacher. If we want to be taught by the Holy Spirit, He will teach us. But we have to cooperate through study of the Word. And folks, comes first is a desire to know what the Word says, and a desire and a hunger to know what God's Word said and to apply it, how to apply it to our lives, our daily lives. So folks, it isn't enough to know what the Word says. The end result God is after is for us to apply that Word to our daily lives and to pass it on to others. So a lot of you out there that are listening to this are people that God has moved upon to open yourselves to this Bible study. And He's moved through your spirit, through your hunger for the Word, to teach you what you need to know spiritually. Now all you must do is cooperate with the Holy Spirit through opening the Word of God up, studying it, maybe getting some teachers that will help open the Word to you. Having this desire to know is the main thing. Have that hunger such that you say things like, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth." That was just my scripture, but you can have your own, what you tell the Lord. "Lord, I want more of your Word. I'm hungry for your Word. Teach me your Word." And that Holy Spirit then will teach you what you need to know spiritually. Why? Because of verse 14:26 here in John. "But the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost," one of the ways He'll help you, "is that He shall teach you all things." Now another thing He will do is He will bring things, those things that He teaches you, to your remembrance when you need them. See, that's the last part of the verse here. "He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So number one, He's going to teach you what you need to know. That is, if you open your heart to it and desire it and hunger for it. And then, after He teaches it to you, He will bring this Word, these things that He has brought to you, these things that He's taught you, He will bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. Now, one example might be, for example, I'm teaching the Word here today to you, and what He might bring as I teach along is Scripture or words that He would bring to my remembrance that I would need right then for this lesson that we're talking about right now. He will bring things to my remembrance. He will bring things to your remembrance when we need them. You know, teaching would be one example. Or another example might be so you know what to do when situations arise where the Word should be applied. He will bring that Word that you need to your remembrance. You know, usually sometimes I'll start out the day and say, "Lord, today, as I live my life today, bring to my remembrance words that will help me to get through the day in a way that pleases you. Bring to my remembrance the Word of God that applies to this situation." And then, folks, when He does, be sure to do it. That's the main thing you need to learn. Christians need to learn about the Word. And God impressed me so strongly with this, is it's not enough just to learn the Word. The reason you're learning the Word is to do the Word. God told me that one day. I asked Him for more time to read the Word. I had a job. I had children. I had a wife. I had a business, and I wanted more time, Him to create more time in my day to read the Word. And He spoke very directly to me, and He says, "You're reading the Word enough." This is what He said. He said, "You can only read the Word so many hours a day, but you can do my Word 24 hours a day." And He showed me through that the Word itself, learning the Word, wasn't the end. It was only a means to the end of doing the Word. The important thing is that we apply the Word to our lives. It's just like anything else, folks. If you go to college and you learn and you major in a certain major, whatever it might be, in my case it was engineering, it's not just to learn those courses so that you'll know dynamics, statics, mathematics, all kinds of engineering courses like heat transfer and thermodynamics. I'm just coming back to me. All these courses aren't so you just know those courses, or know the material that's in there. You're learning that so that later when someone hires you, you can apply those principles that you learned in school to be useful to the company that hired you. Okay, so that you can design things, make things, build things, not just to sit in school and just learn for learning's sake. And that's the same way with the Word of God. God has us learning the Word for a purpose, and that purpose is to be a doer of the Word and apply it to our lives so that other people, or teach it to others so they can apply it to their lives. Or if you're a pastor, pass it on in your sermon so people can apply it to their lives. If you're an evangelist, pass on the Word of God concerning how to be born again and saved and filled with the Spirit so people can use it in their lives. So folks, these things aren't just theoretical knowledge. The things that you're learning today about the Word of God, God is teaching you these things so later in life you can apply the Word of God you've learned today or yesterday or tomorrow to the situations that you face and apply it to them. And then God will bless you. That's the whole point. Go back to Joshua 1:8 and read what happened there. He made a promise to Joshua that if he'd meditated in his Word day and night and observed to do all that was written therein, he would prosper in what he did. But remember, the whole idea there wasn't just to read the Word of God, it was to apply it. That's what he told Joshua. We have it all through the Word of God, folks. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" And then he gave them an example of two different men. And these men's, one man's life was destroyed, and another man prospered simply because he did the Word and the other one didn't. They both heard the Word. Remember, if you read back in Luke chapter 6, verses 40, starting with verse 49, they both heard the Word, but the one who applied the Word, who his house was built upon stone, it says, where the other was built upon sand. And when the storms of life came, the one who only heard the Word and didn't do the Word, his whole home, house, that means our life, is washed away. And the other man who did the Word, it was built upon a rock, and his house stood firm when the storms of life came. That's God telling us, folks, that if we're going to hear the Word, we must also do the Word if we want to have success in our lives. He told that to Joshua. He's telling that. Jesus told them in Luke chapter 6, verses 49 through, I think, 51. And if you go back into James, it said, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What does he mean there? He means you can be deceived by hearing the Word if you don't apply it, because nothing will ever happen in your life. Nothing will ever be blessed in your life if you're just a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word. It goes on to say that those who are hearers of the Word, or those who are doers of the Word, not hearers only, that man that does the Word shall be blessed in his deed or in what he does. So you want to be blessed, folks, become a doer of the Word. And you become a doer of the Word first by knowing what the Word says, because you can't do what you don't know. But thank God, folks, if you get in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word, He will bring back that Word to your remembrance that you need to do in specific situations that arise in your life. So we've learned so far that, number one, He leads and guides us in all truth. Number two, He shows us about things to come. Number three, He receives orders from the head of the body. That's Jesus for us, the body of Christ. Number four, He teaches us all we need to know spiritually. He's our teacher. And number five, He brings things to our remembrance that when we need them. So that's five things we've learned so far. Well, number six, He abides with us in our spirit forever. Let's take a look at that in John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father," Jesus speaking, "and He shall give you another comforter," or we found out that word means helper, "that He may abide with you," how long? Forever. Folks, when the Holy Spirit comes in your spirit, He's not leaving. So folks, you know, I tell you the truth, I get a little tired of hearing a certain song I hear once in a while in church or somewhere. It's a song and it says, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Folks, this is ignorance gone to seed. God is not going to take His Holy Spirit from you. As they say, "Well, that's scriptural. It says it right in Psalm 51. Yes, it does. David was praying, for God not to take his Holy Spirit from him. But remember, David never had the Holy Spirit indwelling his spirit. David, even though he was a prophet and a king, he had the Spirit come upon him when God wanted to work through him, when God wanted him to write the Psalms, the inspired Psalms that he wrote, when God wanted him to do some mighty work. The Holy Spirit would come upon David when David would play soothing music for King Saul. The Holy Spirit would come upon David. But he didn't permanently reside in David's spirit like he does believers. That's the first time the Holy Spirit's ever come upon believers to live in their spirits. Right here in verse 17, verse of chapter 14, it says, he's going to give us even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He wasn't even in these disciples yet, because they had not received Jesus as Savior, neither could they receive him as Savior, because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. See, the Holy Spirit never came in anybody's spirit to dwell permanently until Jesus went to the cross, was risen from the dead, and then they could accept him as their Savior. And that only happened after Jesus went to the cross. So he's even telling his disciples here, this Spirit is coming, he's going to dwell with you and shall be in you. And then if you go back to John chapter 20 in this same book, you'll find that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he breathed on his disciples in chapter 20 and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That was the first time the Holy Spirit ever came into someone to dwell forever in their spirits. Because that was the first time anyone had ever received Jesus as their Savior. Simply because he'd never gone to the cross before. Men's sins were only covered before. They weren't taken away and washed out completely by Jesus' blood yet. So, don't ever think God's going to take his Holy Spirit from you. He doesn't do that. But David said back there, after he'd sinned and done some things he shouldn't have done, he prayed God wouldn't take his Holy Spirit. What he really meant was, God, don't take the anointing that you've put on my life away from me. Because the Holy Spirit had only come upon David for service. He'd never lived in David's spirit like he does in us believers. I can't say it any better than that, folks. But what I'm trying to get across to you now, this Holy Spirit, our helper, is in us. And he's going to stay there forever. Folks, you've always got a helper with you. You know, so many times we get in a trouble spot or something and we're looking to heaven. We're looking to up there for something to happen and hoping we can get God's attention, hoping that, you know, God will see what's happening with us and help us. But folks, that power is right inside us. We should be looking inside. That's where the mighty Holy Spirit lives now. He's in us. Anything God's going to do in our lives is going to come through that Holy Spirit, through our spirits, to us. Okay? It's not going to come from externally. It's not going to come from heaven down to us. It comes from heaven down to the Holy Spirit in our, that resides in our spirit to through our spirits to us. You see what I'm saying? So that source of power we should be looking inside for, not outside for. Because that mighty Holy Spirit abides with us in our spirit, and he's not leaving, folks. He's there forever. He's not going to leave you. God's not going to take his Holy Spirit away from you and surprise you one day and is not going to be there. Nope, he's not going to do that. He's there forever. So when you need help, look inside. You know, talk to God. He's in there. He lives in your spirit, and he's going to be there forever. Well, I thought I was going to finish this today, but I still got some more to say about the Holy Spirit or helper. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to cut this off now, and we'll pick up here with the Holy Spirit as our helper again in the next lesson. This is the homework for lesson HBS 145. First question. The Holy Spirit is our blank provider and our blank. He indwells or lives in a believer's blank. What goes in these blanks? Okay, here they are. The Holy Spirit is our power provider and our helper. He indwells or lives in a believer's spirit. Next question, true or false? He will abide there as long as we are free from sin. Is this true or false? Well, that is false, folks. He will never leave you.
tells us that in John 14:16, where it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever." So that question is false. Next question. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, which means he is our helper. Is that true or false? Well, everybody ought to get that one. That is true. Next question. One way he helps us is by blank and blank us into all blank. What is truth? All right. I kind of gave away the answer here, but let me answer it here. One way he helps us is by leading and guiding us into all truth. What is truth? The truth is the Word. And how do we know that? Well, among other scriptures, and there's very many of them, John 17:17 said, Jesus said, in talking to his Father, "Thy Word is truth." And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that the Word is truth. And there's many more scriptures. Next question, true or false? This means, talking about the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us into all truth, this means the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in our lives and ministry in a way that will never contradict and that will be in line with the principles God has set forth in his Word. It's a long sentence, but it's absolutely true. The Holy Spirit will always lead us and guide us in our lives and ministry in a way that will never, ever contradict the Word of God. And it will always be in line with the Word. If you think you're getting some direction, it's not in line with the Word, and you're getting special revelation, but it doesn't line up with principles in the Word, that's not from the Holy Spirit. That's from some other spirit. You don't want to listen to that one. Next question. What scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide the children of God? What scripture is that? Well, that would be Romans 8:14 is one place that tells us that. And I'll just turn to it and read it to you so it's fresh in your memory. Romans 8:14. Here we go. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That means any child of God will be led by the Spirit of God. Of course, sons of God means women of God as well. When you talk about sons of God, it's sort of like talking about mankind. It includes both men and women. And so the scripture that tells us the Holy Spirit will guide the children of God is Romans 8:14. So if you're a child of God, you can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. But we're going to have to spend time with God in some semblance of quiet and some place that we can hear the still small voice of our spirit. So, yes, he's going to guide us and lead us, but yes, it's up to us to provide an opportunity for him to do so. Next question. Who are the children of God? Well, I think everybody ought to get this one. The children of God, of course, are believers in Jesus Christ, those that accept Jesus as their Savior, the body of Christ. All these would be acceptable answers. So, believers in Jesus Christ, those who have been born again, those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, those in the body of Christ, any of those four answers would be correct answers. So you can put down whatever you desire there of those four choices. They all mean the same thing. Next question. What two entities had to work together for the Word of God to be written down? In other words, written down so that we can access it today. What two entities had to work together for this to happen? Well, number one, God. He had to inform somebody what he wanted to write down. And number two, men picked by God to write down what he told them to write. So we need two entities there, don't we? We need God to tell the men or women what to write. In this case, it was all men, what to write for the Word of God. And we need men that were picked by God that could be faithful to listen to God and to write down that which he wanted them to write. So we had to have men and God working together. So that's what goes in those two blanks. Men picked by God to write down what he wanted them to write, and God himself.
Name two scriptures that tell us that. Well, there's several in the Bible, but a couple that stand out to me are 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Let me just read these to you because they're important scriptures. I'll go to 2 Timothy first and read from there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16. Okay, here we go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. In other words, all scripture was given to these men to write down by inspiration of God. So from that we know that all scripture is inspired by God. Now let's look at 2 Peter, verses chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, see we're talking about scripture, is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, that means what they wrote down from God, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they spoke, folks, in Scripture by writing down what the Holy Spirit from God told them to write. So, Scripture it talks about here in verse 20 is not of any private interpretation. That means it doesn't come from any source on this earth. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. They didn't just decide to write something down, but it came to holy men of God who spoke, in other words, wrote down what God was giving them as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there you have it. Scripture came not in old time from the will of men. They didn't just decide to write it, but holy men of God spoke or wrote these things down as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there's a couple of scriptures for you. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Next question. The Holy Spirit is the opener of the Word, since the Word is blank, and the Word was written as the blank blank moved upon blank to write it. It goes on these blanks. The Holy Spirit is the opener of the Word, since the Word is Spirit. And the Word was written as the Holy Spirit moved upon men to write it. So in those blanks goes Spirit, Holy Spirit, and men. See, the Holy Spirit opens the Word, since the Word is Spirit. John 6:33 told us that. Remember, Jesus said, "My words are Spirit, and they are life." Okay, so the Word is Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit living upon us, and He wrote that Bible as He moved upon men to write it. Now, the next question will throw some more light on this idea. Therefore, when we read the Word, the blank blank that abides in our blank helps us to understand the Word, which is also blank. Now, this puts it all together. Therefore, when we read the Word, the Holy Spirit that abides in our spirit helps us to understand the Word, which is also Spirit. You see how it all works together there, how God has it working together? We have a spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Word itself is Spirit. So those three different spirits put it all together so that we can understand it. You know, since the Word is Spirit and we are spirits and the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, that way we can understand that Word. Next question. The blank blank shows us blank, blank, blank. And I want a scripture for that. That's kind of hard to give a scripture for something that many blanks in it, isn't it? Well, it won't be once I fill in a few of these blanks. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Remember we read that in the Word of God? And where did we read that? That's why I want the scripture. That was John 16:13. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do is show us things to come. Okay, so let's go into this a little deeper. Name two things he might show you. In other words, that would be things to come. What kind of things might the Holy Spirit show you? Well, number one, he might give you a little preview on things that are coming up in your ministry. Okay, he might, you know, there might be something coming up he wants you to do, and he kind of wants to get you prepared for this new thing. And so he gives you a little preview in your spirit so that you're ready for it when it does come. Number two, he might just show you something in your life that's coming that you might have to prepare a little bit for. Maybe there's some tough times coming financially and he wants you to save a little money. He may give you a little nudge in there and a little word in, and maybe scripture will line up with opportunity, which will line up with your inner witness, and you'll need to know that you need to start putting a little money away or something like that. These are things that I've had him show me, many, many things, of course, but usually when I'm reading the Word of God and something from the Word kind of stands out to me, and it agrees with inner witness, and also I have opportunity to do it. When opportunity, inner witness, and word from Scripture line up, that gets my attention, and that prepares me for something that might be coming. For example, we moved to our present location geographically years ago, and before we had just built a new home, and all of a sudden, I just knew we were going to be moving. I didn't know how, but I'd read in Scripture, and it would talk about a move coming up. In my inner witness, there was knowledge in my inner witness that there was a move coming up. So that lined up with Scripture. And then we had an opportunity to minister in another area of the country, and God witnessed to our spirits that this is what he wanted us to do, and so we moved. But that's just kind of an example of how God will show you things to come, both in inner witness, through the word, and then an opportunity. Okay, so let's move on now. The two things God might show you are things to come in your ministry or things to come in your life that you might have to prepare for. Next question, true or false? The Holy Spirit will also pass on instructions for the body of Christ from the head, being Jesus, the head of the church. Is that true or false? Well, that is, of course, true. And what scripture tells us that? That would be John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Remember, we read those in the lesson. The Holy Spirit will pass on instructions for the body of Christ to individuals in the body of Christ from the head of the church, which is Jesus. And John 16, 13 through 15 tells us that. Next question. If I'm a blank, I am part of that blank, which is also called the blank. All right, here we go. If I'm a believer, I am part of that body, talking about the body of Christ, which is also called the church. Folks, there's one true church, and that is the body of Christ. And if you're a believer, you're in it. So believer, body, or body of Christ, and church goes in these three blanks. Next question, true or false? Any information we receive from the head of the church will be audible. That is, we'll hear it with our ears. Is that true? That is false, folks. We don't get information normally from the head of the church that way. Okay? And we'll find out in the next question how we normally do get it. Okay? So we don't normally get it audibly. Next question. No, it will come from Jesus to the Holy Spirit, who will then inform me in my spirit. On rare occasions, it could be audible to me, but not to others around me. And that is true, folks. Normally, 99.9% of the times, it will come from Jesus, and it could come from the Father originally through Jesus, but it will come from Jesus to the Holy Spirit in our spirit, who lives in our spirit, who will then inform us in our spirit. Okay, and that's usually by the inner witness. Now, some things can't be passed from the inner witness simply because it's not quantitative enough. Usually from the inner witness, you'll get a yes or a no, something like that. So anything that can be answered by a yes or a no usually comes through the inner witness. But in some cases, it takes more than a yes or no for God to pass on what he wants to pass on. And on those occasions, he will usually speak to us by that still, small voice of our spirit. Okay? But then again, on rare occasions, it could be the voice of the Holy Spirit, which might seem audible to us, and but not to others around us. That would be fairly rare. So any of those three ways. It could be inner witness, a still small voice of our spirit, or it could be the voice of the Holy Spirit. And of course, there's other methods as well that are less common, visions, dreams, things like that. And I get into all that on other lessons in the school, but I don't want to get into all that now. It's under the lesson. It's titled something like How God Leads Us, and all these things are discussed in detail. But to answer this question, it's simply true. Okay. Next question. The Holy Spirit also helps us by blank us what we need to know to grow blank. And I want a scripture. The Holy Spirit also helps us by teaching us what we need to grow spiritually. And the scripture for that would be John 14:26, that tells us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He helps us in that way as well. Remember, everything in this lesson is ways what the Holy Spirit helps us as members of the body of Christ. So he helps us by teaching us all that we need to know spiritually. Well, give me a reason why he might do this, okay? Well, the reason would be so our mind will be renewed to the spiritual way of life. In other words, when we are not born again, we pretty much live any old way, okay? Just kind of go by our senses, and if it feels good, do it, that kind of a idea, especially when we're young. We don't have a lot of moral guidelines in the world that we're listening to. And so basically, before we're born again, our mind really receives all the information it gets from our five senses. And so we have those five senses. But once we get born again, we have another avenue of information, which we didn't have before, and that is through our spirits. And that's what we've been discussing here. So one of the things that we need to do when we become born again is to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And the reason, and that's this answer to this question, so our mind will be renewed to the spiritual way of the life that God wants us to live. In other words, so our mind will be renewed. That would be satisfactory. We want to get our mind renewed to spiritual things through the Word of God, right? So we need to have our mind renewed so we may be transformed into becoming a doer of the Word. Remember, Romans 12:2 says, be ye not conformed to this world. And how do you do that? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, folks, we come into this world with a mind that's unrenewed. It's based on sense knowledge. All the information we've got in it is based upon sense knowledge. But once we get born again, God wants us to open up to this new avenue that we have to learn from Him. And that comes through our getting our mind renewed in His Word by studying and meditating His Word. So that was a lot to say to answer this question. But to go in this blank, to give me a reason why, you could just say, so our minds will be renewed to the Word of God. Okay? That's why the Holy Spirit teaches us. Next question. For the Holy Spirit to teach us, we must blank through blank and a desire to blank. What goes in these blanks? Well, it was in the lesson. It was in the teaching. For the Holy Spirit to teach us, there's three things we must do. We must cooperate through study and a desire to learn. Folks, we're not going to just assimilate the Word of God by osmosis through the air. We have to actually open our Bibles, and that's what I mean by cooperate with the Holy Spirit, through a study of the Word of God and a desire to learn. So in these blanks goes cooperate, study, and learn. Folks, you won't ever learn any more than you want to learn, okay? God rewards those who want to learn His Word, those who have a hunger for His Word, not those who sit back, even though they're Christians, and just wait for God to teach them. No, folks, we got to open our spirits to His Word. We actually have to pick up our Bibles and begin to read there. And as we read things, things strike our spirits to meditate upon what we've read and then to put into practice, of course, what we have read. So we need to cooperate through study, and the real thing we need at the beginning is a desire to learn the Word of God. So you need those three things. We have to cooperate, we have to study, and to do all that, we need a real, true desire to learn. Next question. Once we blank some principle from the blank, we need to blank it into blank. All right, what goes in these blanks? Once we learn some principle from the Word, we need to put it into practice. So in those blanks goes learn, word, put, and action or practice. Either one of those two words would work. Put it into practice simply means be putting the Word into action. And the last question is this. The Holy Spirit will also help us by bringing things we have blank from the blank to our blank when we need them. John 14:26. What does John 14:26 tell us about that? Well, here it is. The Holy Spirit will also help us by bringing things we have learned from the Word to our remembrance when we need them. Folks, He can't bring to our remembrance what we don't know. So we need to get in that Word, study it, meditate on it, and put it into practice. Then later, maybe when you're teaching someone else or you need to apply it to your own life, He will bring that Word to your remembrance. But remember, folks, everything that's brought to your remembrance is something that's down already in your memory. And it can't get in your memory unless you have opened the Word and learned it at some previous date. So in these blanks goes learned, word, and remembrance. Well, that then completes the homework for this lesson.